For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
David Johnston, Jeff Dantzler along with you. Former Georgia head coach, College Football Hall of Famer, Jim Donnan here in the studio with us every Tuesday during the season from 8 until 10. Coach, always love having you in.
Only man I know who is a bowl MVP and an ACC singles champion in tennis.
Oh, hey, I'm an old man.
And a man who's mastered time and space also.
I got that mastered. Congratulations to JD.
For absolutely.
Mastering it too. But,
yes.
But anyhow, we got a lot to talk about here. That first hour went through fast.
Hey, one thing I wanted to bring up too. And Coach, before you got here, Dave and I were talking about this. I want to tell you, as I look at my trusty helmet schedule here. Okay, September the 16th, and granted, these aren't the Florida and Tennessee teams that you had to coach against. But
you think
Tennessee and Florida are 20-20 in the fourth quarter. That place is rocking. Missouri is losing to Purdue 35-3. Now, if somebody would have told you, all right, Missouri's going to beat Tennessee 50-17 and Florida 45-16. No way in the world do you believe the turnaround they've had.
Really? I mean, it all started out where they got a big win, first of all, against UConn, and then they beat Idaho, who lost to Coastal Carolina last week, which was really kind of unbelievable. But I just think their defense has made some stops, and they've realized that they can, you know, run the ball a little bit to go with their passing game. And they've, how many point favor are they over Arkansas this week?
I think it's 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, too. Like, when you look at Florida and Tennessee, it's like there's nothing they really do well. But like with Missouri, they throw the ball well. You know, with South Carolina, they got a good defense. Bentley and Hurst is a big weapon there. Kentucky's got Benny Snell. So I would think, you know, for Florida and Tennessee fans, that's what would be the most frustrating to me, is that there's – you don't have anything you hang your hat on. It's like you used to say, what Coach Bill Dooley used to say, no bread and butter.
Hey, we're going to cut them like boarding house pie. Yeah, we're going to cut them up like boarding house pie.
I love it.
Hey, it really is crazy what's happening now, that the fact that the Florida and Tennessee jobs are both open at the same time. And, you know, one of the things, Coach, and I'm saying this because you rebuilt the Georgia football program. And what a lot of people, you got to understand, when Coach came in, Florida and Tennessee were two of the top four programs in all of America in this division.
So, and the other team we recruited against, Florida State,
they
all
were
three
in
of them
there
won
too.
The national championship.
Yes.
But that, let's don't talk about that. Let's just talk about that. That's history.
I like history.
I do too. We love talking history.
But one of the players on our team that's really doing a heck of a job now is Kirby Smart. And I'm just so happy that he – this means a lot to Kirby to be the coach here, which, you know, everybody, you take a lot of pride in your job and all, but it's just different when it's your school. I just think it's so – and, you know, I had a couple chances to go back to my school, and, you know, I didn't do it, but it's tough. Like, I think that's going to be tough on Scott Frost. Mm-hmm. I think with Coach Osborne putting the hammer down on him and trying to – say, hey, you got to save Nebraska. I think it'd be hard for him to turn down Coach Osborne. I just, as good a coach as he is, and chance to maybe be Florida or wherever, but I just think he's going to go to Nebraska, because Dean Smith asked Roy Williams one time and he didn't do it, but the second time Roy went back because Dean told him he had to.
Yeah, it's like now it's time right now. And there's my buddy Chris Welton, who's a great player here, and He had a good comment. I had him on the show one day. He said, Kirby's strength is his authenticity. And that goes back to this being his home. He's a great player for you. Ray Goff recruited him. He's had a great relationship with Coach Dooley. He played for Mark Richt. His father was a great high school coach. So you're talking the degrees of separation. Just to get somebody on the phone about anything, you're literally one phone call away. from me. What are you talking about? Recruiting?
Yeah, yeah.
A booster? Somebody? I need to know this. I need to go here.
And didn't hurt him working for Nick for 9 years.
That helps too. A pretty good mentor, and you know, and his wife Mary Beth was a great basketball player for Coach Landers here. This is where they've wanted to be, and it's so much fun. You can literally see he wants what all Georgia fans want, and that's for Georgia to win championships and to be very best.
Here's the thing. You're going to see about 9 or 10, maybe 11 pro jobs open up.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, if I'm a general manager, I would call Jimmy Sexton about Kirby Smart because he's that kind of coach. He's not going to leave here to go to a pro.
Right.
But he has the capabilities and the traits to be a coach on any level.
Well, this coaching carousel is so fascinating now. I mean, to have Florida and Tennessee both open, Arkansas is coming open, Texas A&M probably. David, I kind of think Ole Miss, they might as well just wait on the sanctions. But the domino effect that goes with that. And even
and
with
now
the,
adding UCLA in and how that could affect the SEC coaching carousel.
Nebraska's going to open. And then you think about, too, assistants. Guys like Dan Enos is going to be a coveted guy out there. This is going to be one of the all-time dominoes starting to fall.
We'll see
years.
A lot of things happen there. But
and if Dan Mullen moves, there's another one, you know? So. If Petrino moves,
Petrino, you think that. But I would say Mike McIntyre is going to get from Colorado is going to Mississippi. I would say Scott Frost is going to Nebraska. I would say Dan Mullen going to go to Tennessee.
Wow.
I don't know about Florida. I'm not sure. And I would say Jimbo Fisher is going to Texas A&M.
Wow.
Interesting.
That you know, the thing about Florida State. Now, he's done an excellent job there. Know how much they've won. But when you get beat by Boston College 35-3, it's like there's something else going on.
Yeah, and
there.
You know, he's got a different president now. He's got a different AD now that he came in with. And, you know, you got a situation where Miami's starting to get it humming now and they're going to have a new Florida coach. But he has an existing relationship with Scott Woodward, the AD at Texas A&M. They would both work together at LSU. I don't know that would happen, but the thing that's so paramount here, though, is, and it's the way that Nick Saban got the job at LSU, Jimmy Sexton is a power broker. The agent, he's the supremo agent. So he goes in to talk to Jeff Dancer, who's the AD at one school, or goes into David Johnson, who's the AD at the other school, and he's talking about jobs and everything. Well, he said, well, David, you know, I was talking to Jeff Dancer, and they're looking at my guy. How about you? Do you want to talk to him? Or if you can't, how about this other guy I represent? So that's what happened to Tuberville. Tuberville was talking to LSU through Sexton, and then he said, I'm staying at Auburn. And then Sexton said, hey, how about Nick Saban? I got him up here at Michigan State. Would you look at him? LSU picked him up. So we got the same scenario here. Jimmy Sexton's a Tennessee grad. His first deal there is he's going to try to take care of Tennessee if he can. Who's that going to be? He represents Mullen. He represents the mullet out there at Oklahoma State.
Mike Gundy.
So what's going to happen there?
Well, do you think Mike Bobo's in play for some of this
stuff? Mike's done a really good job out there. They lost a couple games they could have won this year, but, you know, he likes it out there, but he's certainly got the firepower with his in the way he's an offensive coach, and we'll see what happens. But I'm just was trying to explain behind the scenes. Like I listen to some of these people on TV that, you know, they do a good job and all, but really I'm trying to say, do you really think that this coach is saying I'm not going to do anything till the season's over? I guarantee you behind the scenes they're working this thing over. Like Saturday night, Sunday, there's going to be so much happening because, mm-hmm. and it just doesn't happen there in 2 hours. But there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes. But Jimmy Sexton and this guy, Trace Armstrong, who represents a lot of the other coaches who used to work for Jimmy Sexton.
Is that the old Florida and Chicago Bear defensive lineman?
He's a big time agent.
David Dunn is Chip Kelly's agent.
David Dunn is a UCLA graduate.
Yep.
And let me tell you something. Do you think UCLA would have let Moore go for $12 million if they didn't want to go after somebody big?
Exactly.
Right. And I heard this guy talking yesterday. Well, maybe they'll move up the offensive coordinator. Come on. They're going to move up the offensive coordinator after they just fired a guy for $12 million?
No, they're not.
And, UCLA is not a big alumni deal, based deal. Like, you know, they got a tremendous alumni, but they don't have near the, you know, people putting money in their program like that from a standpoint. Like you see in the SEC, is, you know, they got all this endowed money for all these academic things, but, you know, they've notoriously been an underpaid coaching staff until Mora got out there. The other thing you got to remember, if you get a job at UCLA, they got to give you a stipend for living.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you got a 1,200, you got a 12, yeah. Hey, you got a 1,200 square feet box to live in. Cost you like $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, Chris Selfo, one of my coaches, was offered a job out there after he was in the pros, and he said they told him they were going to give him $3,000 a month stipend just for living, on top of going out there to coach.
No, it for the Stanford, Cal, USC, UCLA, just the cost of living for coaches, it's enormous, and it's outrageous. You know, you bring up UCLA too, you'd think they got the best of the best. Their facilities were substandard. I think they didn't even have a 100-yard practice field. It was UCLA.
Incredible.
Until Mora got there. So.
And then even when you got there for baseball, you know, you're like, oh, this is it?
They were like, we had as many fans there, and there were as many scouts as UCLA.
Exactly.
But then I get it. It's like, you live in Los Angeles.
There's a lot to do.
It's a baseball game at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
You know, you're just not going to roll over to campus there. So there's definitely good and bad in all those. But it is going to be an interesting watch, and that's why it's fun to be in this spot that we're in right now with what Kirby's doing and being in that position of stability. Because, like, here's one for you, Coach. Did you ever think, Dave and I figured this out, that in the East, the two deans would be the head coach at Kentucky and Vandy?
Yeah, that could ever happen. And here it is. It's crazy.
Well, the other thing that helps you in recruiting at this point is based on fact. If you're looking at sending your son somewhere, you want to eliminate as much as you can as far as the unknown. Not many unknowns here at Georgia now.
No.
And I think that's the difference in our team now, recruiting-wise, and maybe last year. A lot of coaches using, hey, they got to prove they can win. You know, they're 7-5 or end up 8-5. And you're hearing some kids, well, we're going to see how they do this year. Once we started winning, did you see them jump on the train here?
Big
I mean,
time.
There's not enough room on this train. I mean, we don't have enough scholarships, but the reality is we have leapfrogged the East, and we beat the third-best team in the West very handily. We lost to the second-best team because they outplayed us, and we didn't play very well. But, you know, we made a lot of strides in the year and a half.
Well,
I do want to get to the inbox when we get a chance,
go ahead,
too, since we had promised up, you know, all that. But I love talking about the coaching carousel.
No,
it's so interesting. And Coach is right. I mean, it's like where Georgia is now in the East. Is, I mean, is
83-7?
Yeah, over
with Tennessee.
Yeah,
hey,
I mean,
come
it's incredible.
On. I'll take that.
It's incredible. And, it really is.
And you know, the biggest problem for Coach Jones, he said he had their back, and basically he didn't, you know.
Exactly.
He kidding, but I got your back.
You got my back. We got your back.
Yeah, until week 10.
Trash.
How about them beating Tech that game? That was a bad loss for Tech that night.
Bad late fumble there. Coach, Tony wants to know, our man Tony, he says, as someone who's proficient in coaching the triple option, what are the things the defense did when you were a coach that gave you trouble? And Tony wants to know, what do I need to look for Saturday to tell me the Dogs are playing it well or if we're in trouble? I would assume if they get a lot of big games, that would tell you that we're in trouble. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give you about a minute. Give me the time. Put the thing on a two-minute timer here. I'm going to put it on you. The first thing they got, if you just count from 12 is the fullback dive, 14 is a read, 16 is outside veer, and 18 is taking it outside. So we're going to go 12. You're just going to predetermine. If they can predetermine the fullback and make yards down after down, you're not doing much up front. If they get to the situation where they can't, they'll start reading you and running 14 where, you know, now they'll either keep the ball or give it. So they'll take it on outside. So how are we playing the quarterback? Are we slow playing him? Does he turn up? Does he duck up? This quarterback likes to duck up, so we need to play him pretty efficiently And it's okay if they pitch it on us. I really like us playing the pitch. So you take it on outside the 18. If they pitch it on the perimeter, how are we going to get off the arc block? Are we going to be able to come across and meet them on our side of the line of scrimmage, or are we going to give ground? I think we'll attack and try to hit them in the backfield on it. So that's what they'll do on the triple option. Now, we're stopping them with that, then they'll go to what they call the quick pitch, where they'll fake to the fullback and reverse pivot and run kind of like the toss sweep, which we run ourselves. And they like to do that in critical situations because it gives you a chance to block the perimeter. The other thing on short yardage, they like to fake the ball to fullback and quarterback follow. We've got to be ready on short yardage on that. The last thing I would say is, hey, we got to be careful about giving up the big play. It's okay if they throw a six-yard pass. They're doing you a favor if they throw a six-yard pass because they're getting out of their element. Just don't let them hit a long one on them. And the last thing I would say is our offense has got to go out there and play like the Russians were in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
From a standpoint, it's the last game you'll ever play if the Russians are in St. Louis. But this is my buddy calling me here because he thought I was giving some good stuff. But here's the bottom line. Penetrate. Tackle in open space, make them have lost yardage plays. Okay, Tony?
There you go, Tony. That's a great answer, 50, Coach.
Minute 55.
Minute 55. Got 5 seconds to spare.
I'll say this, too. When I've seen Tech the last couple of games, when they've had success in the passing game, that Ricky June up the seam on the hash mark, that's the guy they've been able to hit when they've run off the play action. There.
Right. The guy to watch out for. Stevie T emailed in and kind of some of the same questions, but he does say that Georgia's going to win 31-7, Jeff. So, I hope you like the sound of that.
I'll take that. I think she'll be a lot closer.
Who said that? Stevie T?
Stevie T. He says 31-7. Strap Dog says, happy Thanksgiving, Coach, and JD. Hope you guys have a great week. He says, Deej, I will talk to you tomorrow when I slay my varmints.
All right.
So Strapper will be doing that. Let's see here. Our man Shane checks in and says, do you think Duke playing and losing to Army the week before helped them to beat Tech? So they got to play Army and then turn around and play Tech.
It helped them a little bit as far as your scout team preparation. And I heard Kirby talk about yesterday at his press conference about our scout team and had a lot of good preparation. You know, they worked on it in the summer and they worked on it some in off weeks. And then some days on Monday you just do some walkthroughs when you're not really practicing, just from a visualization, because it's hard to emulate something that you never see. You know what I mean? You're going against pro-style passing or you're going against the spread and all that. But now all of a sudden you got quarterback on the line dishing the ball, and it's hard for a quarterback that hadn't done that to fake up in there and then pitch the ball and do all that. You got to remember Marshall does that every time, every day. That's what he does. So our team has used some good scout team guys and used some defensive backs maybe to play quarterback to get that speed that Marshall has. He's a very effective runner. You know, he's very tough kid. I mean, the one they had last year was good at running, but he was a passer and runner. He didn't look to run quite as much as this guy. He's their leading rusher, isn't he? I mean,
he's terrific. Yeah.
So, and the other thing is, you got to be patient and understand that they're gonna execute and they're gonna make some first downs. You just got a chance to make a play in a big game. You got to make it, i.e., the Auburn game. We say, if only we'd have hit that deep pass. Well, you don't get to do that again, Jake Fromm. You don't get to do that again, Ridley. Hey, you got a chance to hit it, you got to hit it. The same thing here. You got a chance to get an interception or recover a fumble or have a lost yardage play, you got to do it. You got a chance in the kicking game, return a kickoff all the way. Don't let the last guy tackle you. All these things are from a coaching perspective. You got to be ready to rock and roll at 12 o'clock at Grant Field.
Yeah,
I'm sure Alan Miller and his bus full of Georgia people are going to be ready to get them going over there.
You got that right.
They'll be rocking and rolling at 7:30 in the morning.
What time are they going to leave?
7:30.
They leaving at 7:30.
7:30. The bus is heading over.
Now that's some loyal dogs. And I hope that Joe Devaney doesn't get in any argument with anybody walking
Joe
in the stadium.
The pro.
Absolutely.
You know, I think another thing with the option, and obviously you got to stop the fullback, and you have to put the pressure on the quarterback to make him make a decision.
Right.
He still might make a play, But if you're back on your heels and he's saying run, pitch, you're throw, cooked. You're cooked. Exactly. Yeah. But I think another thing that's important is sometimes is when you're talking about the discipline that you're playing, you might give up an extra yard or two here and there to avoid giving up the big play. And you might give up two or three. And I know sometimes that can get a little frustrating, but like Coach was saying, you have to avoid giving up that huge play and stay patient because they are going to move the ball. But when you do, going back to what Coach was saying, if you have a chance, let's say you get some penetration, if you can get them in a second and 12, you better make that tackle behind the line. And I think even in the win over Kentucky, it was a great win, not nitpicking. There were a couple times it looked like George had Snell for a two-yard loss. He'd get a two- or three-yard gain.
Right.
So instead of third and six, it was third and one or third and two. So if you got a chance to get Tech in second and 12 and third and eight or third and nine, you had better make that play.
Yeah, that's not their MO. You know, they like the quarterback draw on third down. They like to run the quarterback follow. But here's the other thing that, from a coaching perspective, you got a master guy there in Coach Johnson who's seen everything because he's been running it for a long time. And the thing about practicing against getting ready for a team, you really don't know. You don't have any tape to gauge except last year when Georgia played. You don't look at Georgia against running anything that you do. So you got to cover a lot of things in practice that they might do, you know, and a lot of times you're wasting time because they don't do that. I know one thing, coaching it at Oklahoma, we just used to work on certain things, the base stuff. We didn't work on much because we knew we could execute that. We worked on we used to have what we call a Bible, where we had all the what if they do this, if they run an overshifted front and run Eagle Week, we're going to go to this. If they run a stack deal and run the backers through, we're going to go to this. And you never know what teams are going to do. You know, they go to places and study in the offseason. I know we played UCLA in 86 after we won the national championship, and they were led to Pac-10 in rushing defense the year before, but a lot of the reason for that was because they got lost yardage plays on passing. But we weren't sure how they were going to play because they were quick defense. So the first series we come out, and this is series 1986, and their defensive line, David, is lined up 3 yards off the ball.
Like what?
I mean, our right tackle, who's my son-in-law, Greg Johnson, he turned around and looked at Jamel Holloway, and Jamel Holloway looked at him, and they all just looked at each other, and they basically said, hey, we're going to need some chapstick from licking our lips because we're getting ready to destroy these guys. I mean, they were just figured that they could catch us at the line of scrimmage and then just get a stalemate and then play off the blocks, you know? I mean, it was like, I mean, you talk about a mash.
Wow.
And I just told Switzer, I said, we're not going to run the option today. We're just going to line up and powerball them. Yeah. We ran 42 and 43 ISO, and we didn't even have that in our playbook. We put it in there right after the first play. I said, they played. I mean, it was like, whoom.
Wow.
I mean, and then after the game, Terry Donahue's walking off the field, and Terry's a good guy. And we just worked out a deal for Troy Aikman to go there, transfer.
Today's his birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday. Yeah. Was he
51?
Yeah. One of the best talents I've ever coached. And anyhow.
Your final question is going to be something about that here
says,
in just a sec.
He says to me, he said, Jim, I honestly thought that we had a chance when I got off the bus today. I was really wrong.
He's like, I was wrong about that. Our last question, Keith wants to know, is Chant the best player you coached at Georgia?
Well, he's the best all-around player without
of
question.
Of anywhere you've been?
I don't know. I had some good ones, but I just – there's not one guy that, you know, Troy Brown was good up at Marshall. He could do everything, but I really don't know. It's hard to compare that, but I can tell you this. If you had one play you needed to make, stop a guy on defense or catch a ball or return a punt or – return a kickoff or make a tackle in open space or shoot a jump shot in intramural basketball, Champ could do it. And he didn't bother him what the moment was. And just an unbelievable kid, unbelievable family that they had there. And that's the one thing that I would say, which as sick as everybody is about Zamir White, it's a terrible deal for the people that don't know about it, the great running back, tore his ACL Friday night. Same thing happened to Boss Bailey in high school, senior year, tore his ACL. He came up here and had the surgery and got the rehab with our people and was ready to go. I'm not sure that that's exactly what's going to be the MO. I would think that we would do the same thing just so we could have a real bead on the kid and treat him with Ron Corson and Dr. Hancock and all these people. But that kind of security for the family, knowing that you got the best care right there, and I'm sure they got some good care down in South Georgia and also over in North Carolina, but knowing that your son is – that you entrusted to go play for a coach like Kirby Smart, you're doing the same thing. We get the whole deal with the medical staff too. So we'll get that kid in here and get him ready to go and make the best of it. I mean, that's just the way it is. But that's what happened to Boss. I mean, he came up here and got ready to go, and he had a great career.
No question about it, Coach. And thanks for the emails. We appreciate it. All right, back here on the morning show presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. We're in the stretch run here. David Johnston, Jeff Dantzler, Coach D.
A lot of fun here.
That's right. That's right. Coach, it's been awesome this morning. We only got eight, nine, 10 more minutes here with you, and see what you think about these games. I'm not going to save this one for last. I want to get to this one first, the Iron Bowl. Let's discuss the Iron Bowl and so many things. The winner, you know, we know we're playing the winner of this game next week and all
Here's
kinds of stuff.
Here's the way I feel about Auburn. There's no question that they deserve to win the game. They played an excellent game against us defensively, offensively, kicking game-wise, maturity-wise, as far as penalties. The thing they like to do is play man and man under coverage where they have two deep safeties and play, put a lot of pressure on your receivers as far as playing the short routes. And the thing that hurts you there when you do that, it sets up a lot of quarterback scrambles. And I think some of the sacks that we got maybe Hurts will break some plays on them and keep the chains moving because he's so adept at running the ball when you play man coverage. The other thing is defensively, even though Alabama has some linebackers out, I think their defensive front and their secondary combined We'll put a little more pressure maybe on Stidham, and their secondary plays the ball in the air. They got some bigger defensive backs than us, so I don't think they'll get as many big plays against Alabama. They could, but we'll see what happens. But who knows what's going to happen? But
Bama's favored by 4.5 at Auburn.
I think that's a good play from my standpoint, but I do feel like Auburn is very capable of playing with Bama. And you look at what Mississippi State did, they were able to run the ball, but their quarterback is a lot better runner than Stidham. He's a power runner. You know, Stidham's not that kind of guy. He's the one to keep it on his own read. No, but he's not going to line up and try to run the ball downhill against that team. So that's kind of a wash there. But deep down, when you've got a quarterback that hasn't lost a conference game and he's in his second year and he got a chance to run the table for the second year, I got to go the edge to Hurts. I got to go the edge to Coach Saban in this game. But, Auburn, very capable.
The weird scenario of this is if Bama lost, are they in the playoff?
I think they're in.
They don't have to play in the SEC championship game. They'd be 11-1.
So what happened to Ohio State last year?
Last year, same exact.
The only thing that
there might
that
be backlash.
The only
from
thing
that
hurts Alabama a little bit is their lack of competitive teams playing against them. They haven't played nearly the schedule that maybe some others. A team that's really kind of holds the whole key to me is Ohio State. I mean, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
They look pretty good against Michigan in a lot of ways, but the thing that's going to happen, though, that really is going to turn the tide here to me in a lot of ways is all these reboots here. We got a chance for maybe an Auburn-Georgia game. We got a chance for a Washington State-Southern Cal game. We got a chance for,
there's going to be a rematch in the Big 12.
Memphis-Central Florida game.
Yeah.
And then we got TCU and Oklahoma.
Right.
Yep.
So all of these things – those reboots, how's it going to be in the second game? And that's going to have a lot to say. Oklahoma could win against West Virginia, which they should, and then they could lose to TCU. Central Florida could be undefeated and lose to Memphis you know, one of these, I mean, who knows what's going to happen there, but there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen over the next 2 weeks. But the thing, the main thing that's going to happen is at 12 o'clock on Saturday at Bobby Dodd.
Yes, sir. Take care of business.
Just go over there and remember in the big games that the big guys step up. And I'm glad we got 27-1 playing for us. And I think they can hammer and tong them right there. I think, yeah. You know, you look
I like seven did. Also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, all those guys. But yeah, I'm just saying.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
You know,
yeah.
You know, you talk to your players about, hey, big games, don't make mistakes from the standpoint of losing the game like some of the things we did against Auburn. And that's a good learning process. But at the same time, that's why you come to Georgia to play for the state championship. You know, nothing like that game. You know, hey, bragging rights any way you look at it. And I know Jeff can't wait for it to happen.
There's
like
a Christmas tree on the line.
But you got a Christmas tree on the line?
Well, yeah. I always say if you lose to Tech, you can't put up a Christmas tree. So.
Hey, I like that. I mean, so I had 3 years I didn't put one up.
Well, we got hosed in two of those.
I tell you, the one thing that just chapped my butt about that was Doug Marone came over here and was a coach for me, and he coached at Tech. And he told me about that. The one thing that Coach O'Leary always tried to do was, you know, get some of the refs to call their spring games and all, and which everybody did. But the guy that made the call about Little Joe over on the sideline and also called our 2-point play not being any good,
yeah, which I thought Quincy was over,
was a guy that did a lot of their practice. Called a lot of their practices, and you know, regardless of any way you look at it, you can't say the guy was cheating or anything. But really, what really chapped me when I went to the Hall of Fame that year and went up to the, you always go as a coach, and sitting at the Tech table was that official.
Just brutal.
Now I don't know who paid for that, but I didn't like it.
No.
I don't blame you.
Just like I said, I didn't like Bobby Gaston and Rogers Reddick having a Tech guy's head of officiating.
But that's neither here nor there. But Doug Marone told me about that guy. He said, hey, Coach, he was in old Leary's hip pocket.
Oh, man.
I don't even want to talk about that. All right. Well,
else? We got any other tough questions here?
Seven of the top 10 teams are on the road this weekend.
Something funny will happen.
Yeah. So,
let's run down through those. Let's
Coach Rick's at Pitt.
Well, you know, it's going to be a tough game playing up there for those Miami kids. It's going to be cold. Mm-hmm. It's going to be about 2,000 people at the game.
It's a noon kickoff on Friday.
And they play Friday, too. Yep. That's Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving.
Yep.
I think they showed some vulnerability to the pass last week, but I don't see Pitt being that kind of team that can throw the ball on them. But, you know, they got a tough game coming up with Clemson. That's going to be – where's that game? Is that in Charlotte?
It's in Charlotte.
Yeah.
What about could South Carolina beat Clemson?
You know, it's got to be Clemson's got to lay the ball on the ground and make some mistakes. I just think Clemson defense is so good. It'll be a big, major upset. But, hey, heck of a job by Muschamp winning 8 games this year.
No doubt. And, you know, we were talking earlier, you know, Syracuse hasn't won since they beat Clemson.
Well, they're still celebrating.
That's right. I know. Exactly.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean,
how about the Apple Cup? Washington and Wazoo.
8 o'clock Saturday night.
You know, that's going to be, Washington, big win last week. They really, Utah called that timeout at the end of the game, and they ended up scoring. But Washington State, you just never know what you're going to get from that team. Some weeks they just play unreal, and some weeks they get beat. You know, they lose to Cal like that. So
right, it's 38-3. But
I think Washington State should win. But and then that would set up a Southern Cal Washington State rematch. Mm-hmm.
And Southern Cal coming off a bye. Who's going?
When you watch UCLA and Southern Cal last week, did you get a feeling though that those were two really good teams, great teams?
At the end of the half, what Darnold did, the way that he ran and the half ran out. Like, if I'm a pro team, I'm like, I'm not
I think he needs
guy.
To come back for another year. I think Rosen probably is ready. But I just don't get the feel that Pac-12 scares me a whole lot. Of course, like Mike Leach said, there's a lot of teams in the SEC that doesn't scare him either.
What do you think is going to happen with Central Florida and South Florida to –
The war see on who, I-4.
That's right. The war on I-4, the winner gets to play in the American championship game.
I think
game.
One thing we got to look at is both of those guys are in play for big jobs. I think Charlie Strong, deep down, is a backup at Florida if something would happen because of his ties there. And also Ole Miss would like to get him, too. But Central Florida really does a good job running that Oregon offense. Scott Frost got him a good quarterback. And I think I'm going to go with Central Florida. They just got the whammy going for them right now.
Yeah, they look like the cream of the crop of the group of five schools. I did say I was going to ask you about Vandy and Tennessee, too. Somebody's going to get their first SEC win of the year.
Yeah, you know, that guy that does that commercial when you're watching any station on cable of MyPillow, they're going to give at least, they're going to give 50 pillows there before the game, and then the team that wins gets 100 of them. That is the pillow fight of the world there.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
Vanderbilt, have you seen a team go down as quickly as they have since those three wins?
Incredible.
They've won one more game, but their schedule did. But they just don't look defensively like a team.
No.
As good as Mason is as a coach, I mean, their team –
They couldn't just be a Zach Cunningham away from being as good as they were last year to what they are this year.
They can't cover anybody.
Yeah. I mean, that guy was unbelievable.
Yeah. What's the line on that game? Pick?
It's like Tennessee's a one-point favorite.
Tennessee's trying to avoid there are two schools in history that have never had an eight-loss season, Tennessee and Ohio State. So they're trying to avoid that.
Well, you know, if you'd have said something back in a time capsule when Fulmer and and Coach Spurrier were there and said, hey, we're going to have Tennessee coached by Brady Hoke, and we're going to have Coach O coaching LSU.
Yeah.
That would have been hard to believe.
No, I mean, that coaching matchup,
it's incredible. It's incredible. And, of course, got to take care of business Saturday at noon over in Atlanta, Coach.
Got to.
Yeah, I just feel like that one thing you talk to your team every Sunday before you get ready, or now it's Monday because Sunday's our day off. You talk to them about, hey, we're going to take two buses over there, and the guys on this one bus got to do a lot better job than normal as far as the offense. Got to do keep the ball away from them and make sure you take care of business when you got a chance to score. That's going to help our defense. We got to limit their opportunities, limit them on time of possession, limit them on the number of plays they run, because anybody that runs a lot of plays when you're running the bone, they're going to have a good chance of winning the game.
Coach.
But I'm not saying that Tech's going to do that. I'm just saying we're going on two buses, but we're actually going on one from a standpoint of you got to do your job of keeping the ball away from them. But I like our defensive intensity. I like Roquan Smith to make about 30 tackles Saturday.
And we're going to have to have it. And there's always a defensive lineman that seems to have an outstanding game, too. So we'll – hopefully that's going to happen as well. Coach, this has been a treat.
Hey, it's good to be with you guys. And JD and I got a history of used to have the Jim Donnan show three times a week, and he was always sitting in my office on Sunday night coming in there with some questions. I said, JD, how did you come up with these questions already? I'm just forgetting this first game we just finished, but he was talking about the next. We would tape those shows like it was,
that was
all
great.
Week, but they were good. That was good.
Great. I always love seeing my buddy, the coach.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.